This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Paint C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Zach Wolchuk in today.
Woo!
And of course, Alec Medford here to keep all of our heads on straight. Mike Bassick is off for the rest of the week. He will be back next week in surprise for our spring training coverage. And it seems as though perhaps Corey Majors will be back tomorrow.
He's done taking a load off?
Perhaps he will be back tomorrow are the rumblings that I'm hearing.
What do those rumblings sound like?
Probably a
rumble. Show on 105.3 The Fan.
That is one of my absolute favorite drops. All right. Gentlemen, we were just talking about it off air. We'll get to it a little bit later into the show. But what is your hype level for the Four Nations?
I'm so pumped for this. I am. I've been seeing the clips of Miracle on Ice, the movie, Herb Brooks' speech going viral today. And it's one of my favorite speeches. In fact, at the University of North Texas, I told you this. I had to do for a communications course. I had to weave in like three different pieces of art by also having like one tie-in. So I did inspiration. I did the Miracle on Ice, Herb Brooks speech. I used Lose Yourself by Eminem. And then I went with the one-time Little Giant speech at the end where he talks You beat Kevin down Cherry Hill one time. One time, and they go out there, and it was the only time I was hoping for the Little Giants to beat the Cowboys, but they did it. And I will say, I'd love our Dallas Cowboys to wear those Cowboys jerseys with the star on the shoulder pad.
Yeah.
Those things are freaking sick, but I'm pumped for tonight. I am a little bit nervous because Team USA is very banged up, and not having McAvoy, who I thought really set the tone with that McDavid hit, I'm worried. Defensively, they played so damn well on Saturday night. Can they carry that over, and especially Cale McCarr now coming back for Team Canada?
One of the best players in the world.
I think the Canadians, I wouldn't be stunned if the Canadians are able to outlast us tonight, but I am really hoping Team USA can win the championship. And it seems like these guys, I know it's an exhibition, but just listen to PK Subban. We were listening to him before the show.
Yeah.
Like, bigger than a Stanley Cup final game for a lot of these players.
So, Alec, outside of Wolchuk's treasonous prediction, how excited are you?
Screw you, Kevin.
For the game tonight?
I'm extremely excited because we've talked about it a lot this week that there's just not a whole lot else going on right now. So it's nice that my undivided attention will be going to this, not trying to split screen everything and watch a million different things because the NBA has lost most of my interest. I still watch, but you know, I'm going to be fully invested in this and listening to Brian Ray with the morning show boys. I think my confidence was boosted a little bit just hearing how confident he is, hearing how confident it sounds like the team is. The team is a little bit healthier than I anticipated them being. So, you know, I'm intrigued because I feel like we do have a great chance, even though really Canada's team is just a lineup full of boogeymen. And yeah. I hate it because their power play unit is strong. Everything offensively, obviously it's chippy. They're really tough, but it's going to be fun, win, lose, or draw. I'm really excited because I'm just going to sit down and watch the whole thing uninterrupted.
I like it. I like it. All right. We're going to talk about that more later as the show goes along. In the meantime, give me cut number one because I want to talk about the Texas Rangers.
Woo!
The 1-0 pitch is hit high and deep down the right field line. Robles turns to look, and it is gone! A dozen rows up in right field. A booming home run for Leody Taveras. He has tied this game at five.
Leody.
Just real quick, though, are you impressed at how quickly Matt Hicks can count the rows, or do you think he's guesstimating about how many rows deep that home run went?
It's a phenomenal question because Hicksy is a man with, at times, poor eyesight. I don't know how far he can really see into the stands, but the monitor is there to help him. And if there's anybody who I don't think would make up how many rows, because he is very specific, meticulous, and he is an encyclopedia for the MLB rulebook, I think he did count the rows.
Okay, very nice. So our question to start this off is just how much better, or maybe you think worse, you can tell you're in a negative mood today.
Yeah, really bad. I mean, are you kidding me? This is a terrible question, Higgy.
Or maybe you think worse, did the Rangers get this season? Because we've talked a lot about expectations, right? And if you go to, I believe it was yesterday, MLB Stockwatch had win projections in terms of how many wins, your playoff hopes, your divisional hopes, winning the championship. And let's just look at the Rangers. They're predicted by ESPN to jump from 84 wins to 88 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Their odds to make the playoffs jump from 45% to 64%. And their odds to win the championship jump from 2.3% to 5.1%. So essentially, you probably figured this out because you get numbers. Expectation, big bounce back. So I want to get the feel from our listeners, from you guys. Do you get why people feel that way?
Absolutely. Personally, I think that last year was a snake-bitten team. That's what it felt like. And I understand that Josh Young has struggled to stay healthy throughout his career. But I don't think there's any way the Rangers are going to have as many injuries as they did last year. Dolley wasn't healthy all year. Evaldi's on the IL. You didn't have DeGrom until late in the season. Rocker, you didn't have till late in the season. Bradford gets hurt, right? Evan Carter has the back. Hopefully he's able to come back and play the majority of the season. Corey Seager getting hurt. There's just no way to me that that is going to replicate itself this season. And I think they're much better. Right. Anytime CY was on with us, he talked about the offense and how there was regression, but he wanted to make sure he could get that offense back to 2023, and he added a ton of pop in the lineup.
How focused is he on the Rangers season right now, though, since he's more focused on high school playoffs?
I think there is.
Actually, I think I'm just kidding. I think this story is really neat.
It is pretty cool. He's flying back and forth anytime his daughter she's in the playoffs now for Highland Park. And I think this is the deepest Highland Park girls basketball has made a run since like 97, 98.
Really?
So he is going back and forth whenever his daughter plays from Surprise back to Dallas or wherever they might be playing and then going back to Surprise, which is amazing. Family first. I love that. But adding Berger, adding Kyle Higashioka, that to me might be the most under the radar important move that the Rangers made all offseason. Because the reason to me Jonah Heim faded last year is because of the previous 2 to 3 years, not having anybody that could really platoon with him, the wear and tear, the grind, essentially playing every single game in that postseason run. He needs someone to kind of carry that toll and split the deal with him. And Higashioka also adds more power in the lineup.
Alec, as long as we're talking about for better or worse, do you also understand why ESPN would bump up the Rangers' fortune so much?
I do, because it's really hard to regress whenever you had a bunch of career worsts. You know, that's in one season offensively, I just feel like it can only go up from here. It's a very low-level way of thinking, but, I mean, it's true. When you think about the talent that you had, if they're just available, if they consistently play, if some of your X-factor players do play, you know, in that 120-game region, then you expect more consistency than, you know, when they were in and out of the lineup with various injuries or whatnot, or just typical regression. You know, I pulled a Leody highlight because I think he's a guy that, you know, if the situations present themselves in the right ways, he's shown us that he can give you a spark in the bottom of the lineup.
Which is interesting, just real quick, because if there's a player that most people think is not necessarily needed on this team anymore, feels like he's at the top of the list.
Yeah, and I would totally be in favor of moving him to try to get bullpen help, but the reason I'm okay with him staying on the team is because we don't know if Evan Carter is going to be able to play a majority of the games this season. I'm not doubting him. It's just we don't know. We don't know until we see it happen. So I'd rather play it safe than sorry whenever you look at your bench if he goes down with another back issue and you're like, we really have nobody athletic to play out there in center field and outfield at all and try to, you know, juggle that lineup and that formation defensively. But like Wolchuk was saying, you added a ton of offense this offseason, and you know, offense is winning games here nowadays as the starting pitcher is starting to go shorter and shorter into games. It's just how many times can you attack guys in the back end of the bullpen? And I think the Rangers have done a great job of adding power, which is something that you didn't see a lot of last season.
And the most offense that they're going to add is clearly going to come from within. Because let's go to cut number two. Somebody who has the highest expectations for themselves this season is this man.
Who swings at the first pitch and lifts it high and deep out into right. Suzuki going back on this. He's at the wall, and it's gone. Opposite field home run for Adolis Garcia. He hit one on Thursday. He's got one tonight, and the Rangers have their first lead, 4-2.
So I saw this tweet via Jared Sandler, and by the way, if you love baseball, the season's about to start, and you're not following Jared Sandler, you're making a mistake.
You should.
You really should. He said, Adolis said his goal is to hit 50 home runs this season. He said his knees feel healthy and strong, and he's worked on improving his bat speed. The reason why that came up, when they won the World Series, bat speed, 73.5 miles per hour. Last year, 72 miles per hour. Now, okay, that might not make a whole lot of difference if a cop is following you, but when it comes, depending on where you are, of course.
Sure.
But when it comes to bat speed, a drop of a mile and a half, that's a really big drop. What do you think about his ability?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To not only feel better on the knees, feel healthy, pick the bat speed back up.
If he's saying that to me, it means he's confident in where his body is right now and where he is physically. So 39, I believe, is his career home run total, which he hit during the World Series run. If Dolley gets to 50 home
runs.
Career high. If he gets to 50, is that an MVP season for him?
Yes.
I mean, he's going to, because you know what he can do in terms of playing the outfield, cannon arm, being able to just hose people out at home plate.
Can we stop on that for just one second? Because I'm not disputing what you're saying. That needs to go back to 2023
yes.
level as well, because his defense regressed last year.
I wonder how much, because he was struggling at the plate, did that then bleed into the outfield struggles as well? And some of that also might go hand in hand with the health.
Okay, so if we can go back to or elevate offensive numbers to go along with elevated defense back to 2023, potential for an MVP season.
Yeah.
And if Adolis is in the mix for MVP, that probably means your team is badass, right?
It does. And the reason why I think Dolley really could do this is how damn streaky is he?
Yes.
Like, he will carry your offense for a month, and then it's okay, you have 3 weeks of stink ball, right, where you're getting golden sombreros every other night. And then it's, oh my gosh, he's got 12 home runs in another month. And then, well, let's go. It's just kind of, you're riding that roller coaster of highs and lows. If he can actually stay consistent throughout the majority of a season, 50 home runs is absolutely doable for how talented he is.
That being said, would we all be thrilled if, I'll just give you this predictive stat line, 40 home runs, 100 RBIs, 250 batting average. You're going to be pretty stoked about that.
Absolutely.
Stat line, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Ed Too Tall Jones. I appreciate that very, very much. All right. You talked about how streaky he is. Adolis Garcia kind of feels like a little Tim Hardaway Jr.-esque at times in terms of the numbers get to a place where you're like, I'm okay with that. But how you get there is so wild. Do you think we can see a fairly consistent Adolis to get to that point? Or do you think the deal is you're going to get the 12 home run month, and then next month he's going to hit 185, and you're going to be like, I don't know.
We haven't seen it throughout his entire career, so it's hard for me to, with confidence, like if I had to make a decision, is he going to actually show the consistency? I would lean no. I think you're still going to get predominantly the same highs and lows.
Yeah.
But maybe you can just eliminate like one of the lows. Like, can you have one bad stretch instead of three?
We got rid of one of the lows.
So there we go. I mean, like if you can
I meant Nate Lowe. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. Nathaniel. And did you see Nathaniel was saying he can shots at Luka?
Yes, I did.
What the hell?
Because he's won a championship and Luka hasn't.
And he did showcase that ring, and anytime you want to go ahead and show off that bling, gosh, that is a phenomenal ring. Did you see Breast FC's actually on right now?
What?
You like watching Breast?
That's a soccer. There's Breast Football Club.
Yeah, I like the shape of them.
Oh.
Yeah, it's PSG's actually up 6-0 right now on Breast FC. We had that for a G Bag of the Day clip with Lucius. Shout out to LA Live every day at 5:40. But I am
7-0 now.
I'm hopeful in Dolley, but I can't say with certainty that he's not going to have any of those downward trends like we've seen. I think that that's probably the body of work's too high to say that he's going to not go throughout 162 games if he even plays, let's say, 150 without a slump.
Perhaps you can speak with more certainty on this. In the 214. Are you joining 10-2 and not on G-Bag anymore? So, is it possible that you're just filling in today because Corey is still sick? Or Have you decided to leave G-Bag behind you for good, and you're just going to join this show?
Big station announcement. I will be leaving.
Oh, my goodness.
No, that nothing of that has been decided. I'm still on the G-Bag Nation. Eric Schiaffalo is my ride or die. I have undeniable loyalty there. Just like we said, we're not leaving nosebleed seats unless you take both of us to G-Bag. I don't think I could just leave him behind on G-Bag, even though that is something I know my wife would love to flirt with. She thinks this 10 to 2 time slot ideal for family life. So I don't know. We'll see what happens in the future, but I have no plans of leaving G-Bag as of now. I love those boys. Those are my guys. Alec, I love you too.
What I just heard was we're adding Zach Wolchuk and Eric Schiaffalo to the KNC masterpiece. Is that also how you interpreted that statement?
It sounds like a lot of babysitting for me to do.
Red Medford, we're back, baby!
And the one person here that doesn't have a family and the most family-friendly time slot. Look at that. I'm taking wins.
Hey, enjoy.
Taking wins, baby.
Kind of in your face, Zach.
A lot of gym time. Yeah. You're crushing it, bro. Let's go.
Crushing my back on Sunday. That's what happened.
Hey, how is your back feeling after you almost broke yourself in half?
Not good. Probably going to go get it looked at.
You probably should.
Yeah.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Osa to the Chargers, Zach Martin to the Chiefs, and which free agents fit well in Dallas. Next right here in The Fan.
Third and four, and they're going to throw it, it looks like. Locke is back in the gun. Pressured up the middle and sacked. That's Odighizuwa getting in on the party. Six for the Cowboys today.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan from the 817. Don't get jealous, Hagee, but Zach and Eric are my favorite because they always respond to my texts. Does it help that I just read your text on air and responded? Because I absolutely am jealous.
Should be.
And need to be the favorite.
Well, you're our favorite. But don't worry. Somebody else said, who's that guy that sounds like he has a bad case of indigestion? Bring back
is that
Corey
you?
And Mike. And honestly, I was fighting several burps in that opening segment. So that's a hell of an ear from the 903. I love you dearly.
But
oh, my gosh.
It has been a rough morning for indigestion. I'm so sorry.
Hold on. You have indigestion? Do you have heartburn or an upset stomach?
And diarrhea?
You know what it could be. We don't run that commercial anymore, do we? That commercial was great.
I don't care.
Okay, 877-881-1053. Do you remember the diarrhea chorus commercial? And if you think that's a weird way to describe it, just remember, they're like, diarrhea.
I hear it in my sleep, man. I can't get away from it.
All right. Well, let's talk football then. I didn't really know how to professionally segue to that, so let's just jump right to it. All right. So ESPN had an article out about the best team fits for the top 50 players. Now, this, of course, does not mean this would be where any of these players would go, but I would love for you guys to fantasize about how you think these fits would work. So the Cowboys have two free agents in the top 20, Osa and Zach Martin. Now, I realize with Zach Martin, there's a whole lot other stuff at play in terms of potential retirement and everything like that. How do you think Zach Martin would look with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Gosh, I wouldn't be mad at him. Go get yourself a championship. It's like DeMarcus Ware going to Denver. Now, at the time, Denver was not a juggernaut like Kansas City is, where you're going to a conference championship every year and most likely the Super Bowl. But it's like that's not going to upset me. If he went to Philadelphia, be like, traitor. Right.
Yes.
But you go at a conference, you go to a team that I do think is relatively likable because I do like Patrick Mahomes. Wife did go to Texas Tech, grew up in a Red Raider household. So
we've already had this discussion.
I know.
Like, I have nothing to add.
And they've got, hey, you don't have to love the organization.
That's
fine. But I think there's players on the team that are still pretty likable for the most part.
I agree with you.
And I wouldn't mind that because that is probably your best case. Like if you're any free agent right now, you look across the board. The Chiefs are probably top of your list. Like, where can I go and win a championship?
Sure.
So I wouldn't be upset if Martin decided to do that.
Now, I know you said, like, obviously if he went to Philadelphia, that would be a different deal. But do you think most kind of long-term-ish Cowboys, if they're going to leave, you root for them once they're gone to potentially win? As long as it doesn't, like, infringe on your ability.
Yes, 100%. Especially, like I mentioned, out of the conference to where, like, it's not ever going to be a situation where if the Cowboys even make the playoffs, you might be playing against them.
Interesting.
Because they're not getting to the Super Bowl.
Hey, that's a fair point. And I can't really disagree with that. From the 817, yes to letting Zach Martin go get a ring because it ain't going to happen here. Also, There's an astonishing amount of people that remember the Pepto-Bismol commercial. I didn't ever know there was an L on the end of it. I thought it was Pepto-Bismol.
Pepto-Bismol?
Yeah. I didn't know there was an L on the
end. I always thought it was an all, not an O.
Okay, well, so I mean, this could I didn't be like even know the right letter.
Berenstein, Bernstein Bears thing?
Yes.
Which got me as a kid. I still think it's Berenstein Bears.
Okay, you're going to be a bad influence on me because
that's perfect.
Now I want to tell you about a headline I wrote at the newspaper that I was really proud of.
I don't know.
So there was a wrestler for Allen, Ophir Berenstein, or Bernstein if you prefer, and he won a state championship. And I something like my headline was something like Berenstein Bears the Load in state title win, and I was really proud of that. All right. Oso Diggy Zua. Shut up, Alec.
I didn't say anything.
I know what you were thinking. Oso Diggy Zua.
Just keep taking a load off, Alec.
Number 11. Oh, yeah. Damn it, Corey. Get back. Number 11 on the list. Best fit, the Chargers. Now, the Chargers are a really interesting team because for the first like two-thirds of the season, their defense was kind of the talk of the NFL.
Yeah.
Until all of a sudden, it wasn't. And like, and I wish I could say it more eloquently, but it was like, wow, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, never mind. And so what would you think, putting aside, like, we'd love to have him back and all that, put that aside. What would you think about the fit of Osa on the Chargers?
I don't know about that fit, right? Because I don't know that like a three tech, super quick pass rush, get up the field. I think they like bigger bodies on that Harbaugh defense. Hey. Like, think about the guys that were coming out of Michigan. Mazi, for instance.
Yep.
I think that is kind of more of their mold. And then you had Chris Jenkins Jr., who was drafted 2 years ago. I don't know if he, like, Sebastian Joseph Day is a guy that was there that I think would be comparable to Osa. Osa a little bit bigger, but I don't know that I like that fit with the Chargers.
Okay.
Based on what Jesse Minter's running.
Okay. What is your price for Osa to come back? I know that the Morning Show boys are going to be headed to the Combine next week, and I believe they'll have all kinds of great behind-the-scenes information, maybe including some Osa updates. What's the price? Because I'll admit, I also want the Cowboys to be active in free agency, but when I hear numbers that even get close to $20 million, I'm like, I'm out.
Basically anything like 15 to 18 range, okay. I would absolutely love if okay. you could do that. But I do think he's going to get 20 plus on the open market. And I'm more of an Osa guy than I think I know anybody on G-Bag is. Like,
okay.
if you looked at who were some of your best defensive players, specifically against San Francisco in those games, Osa, like the notion of he only plays well against poor competition is not true to me. He played well in those playoff games against San Francisco. Even in the regular season blowout losses, Osa was kind of one of the one shining stars, in my opinion. The question is, much like we just talked about with Adolis Garcia, the consistency.
Yep.
Like, Osa has a tendency to get worn down. This year was kind of the opposite. I think he played his best towards the end of the season. Now, could that correlate with Mazi also playing better towards the end of the season? Because Osa's really been your only consistent interior defensive lineman over the last 3 years. You've had nobody else to help him out. If you could draft somebody, or if Mazi is able to continue to develop and do a average NFL starter, because quite frankly, in fairness, he's been below average yeah. for the majority of the time. I think that can help out Osa. But this is one of those years to me, Hagee, when I look at the draft class, this is so deep at defensive tackle. Defensive tackle might be the deepest position in the entirety of the draft. You can go into the third round and I think get a guy that can plug and play and start for you right now.
Which is exciting because
it is.
Aren't you guys feeling kind of the same vibe for running back?
Running
being
back
really
too.
Deep?
Running okay. back and D tackle are the two deepest positions. So to me, it's like, as much as I like Osa, I'd let Osa walk. I'd go ahead and draft a defensive tackle to replace him. Maybe I even double dip at that position, and I'd rather spend that money elsewhere. Like I've mentioned with you and we've talked about on the afternoon, go spend that money on a linebacker.
Yeah.
Whether that's Nick Bolton, whether that's another player.
Now, Jordan Lewis. The reason why I want to talk about Jordan Lewis, he's not in the top 50, but one of the replacements is Mike Hilton, the cornerback, and the ideal fit per ESPN would be the Dallas Cowboys. Now, this would be the idea that Jordan Lewis walks out the door and in walks Mike Hilton. The thing I kind of struggle with that, and I don't think this is accurate. I really like Spotrac, but Spotrac has Jordan Lewis as a potential two-year, $4.5 million player. Total, not $4.5 million per year, total. My God. If that contract is on the table and he is willing to sign it, we better make it happen. But how important do you think it is to keep Jordan Lewis, or if you have any fiery thoughts about Mike Hilton?
Look, Mike Hilton was really good with Pittsburgh when he spent some time there, and he is a guy that can play the slot and get some interceptions, but I think you've seen him regress a little bit. Now he's 30 years old. Jordan Lewis is coming off his best season.
I agree.
So if I even have to pay a little bit more to keep Jordan Lewis, I would much rather do that, and that's somebody who I will admit, I'll eat crow. I was trying to get rid of Jay Lou even 2 years ago. I was like, he flashes. He'll have a big game here. And then like Adam Thielen 2 years ago when they played Carolina, Thielen ate his lunch, right? But last year, you can make an argument he was your defensive MVP with how consistent he was. I'd love to try and bring Jay Lou back.
How high are we willing to go on that? Because I think we both agree, and not to be Jordan Lewis's agent or anything like that, I think 2.25 per year is a preposterous number.
Yeah, I think you're looking at 4 or 5 a year.
And you good with, let's say, 2 for 10. Depending on guaranteed money, 6.
Love me 2 for 8, but 2 for 10, hey, sure. With the salary cap going up and up and up, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about that because I want to set some people's expectations for that. We talked about the salary cap yesterday, the projection of 277.5 to 281.5. A couple of weeks ago, my guess was 273 to 275. So this is even higher than I thought, and I thought it was going to take a big bump. But there do seem to be some people who just believe that because the salary cap is going to go up, give or take, like $22 million, that all of a sudden the Cowboys have $22 million worth of space. And I've been trying to tell them, not really, because those projections are worked out. And while the Cowboys do have some cap space right now, not a lot. I know they could do a lot to make it happen, but I just want to temper people's expectations about all of the money that they might magically think is now available to
right.
The
they were expecting to be under or over the salary cap. With this new projection, I think they're actually now a little over $2 million under the cap. Now, to your point, and I know Dan Graziano wrote about this on ESPN, if they go ahead and they get Micah's deal done, which right now you're looking at $25 million. All of a sudden, if you get that extension done, he's going to get a signing bonus. You can basically free up essentially all of that money for the salary cap, depending on how you want to go ahead.
Or at the very least, $15 million is
absolutely
what I've said.
$15 million, 100%. And then you also flip some switches like the Eagles did right with the void years.
Yep.
You go ahead and push money into 2030, 2031 for Dak, for CD. There's a lot of ways they could actually go ahead and open up some cap space if they want to play ball, which is why their whole thing about we're going to blame Dak for taking all of this money and all, now there's only so many pieces of the pie. There's not if you want to work with it. And I understand moving forward, eventually the theory is you'll have to pay that off.
Sure.
Not necessarily when the cap keeps booming year over year over year and you're getting more than you thought. Because I kept hearing, oh, cap hell for the Eagles. They're not sitting in cap hell, and they also moved on from paying a quarterback and paid another one.
Do you get nervous at all about pushing any more of Dak's money off since that's kind of how you got into this situation?
Yes, because I don't want to be a hypocrite, because we would all look at if Dak's not on this team and they're still paying Dak, which is what happened with Romo, and say, what the hell, they screwed this up.
And see, because with Hurts, I get it. He'll be like 30 when by the time you get to all of that dead money. Surely you think, hopefully not. But they think hopefully he's still playing and you can just tag that money in there. I don't know how many people think Dak is still going to be playing, at least playing for the Cowboys, like in 4 years. So there's nowhere for that money to go. With CeeDee Lamb, totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to structure Micah's contract where if you want to do the exact same thing with him in 26, 27, 28, you can do that. Dak makes me nervous. If the Cowboys said this time we're really all in and not like in an ironic fashion, but they were actually going to do something about it, then I would be in on that. I'd be like, flip the switch, save me $30 million right there. If they're not, leave it where it is.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
And I can understand that way of thinking. For me, it's kind of, you paid him, so you think he's the dude, and you are now conducting yourself like a win-now team. Go out and put the best team around him as possible, or else you'll look back and say, what if? So I'm with you, because in the future years, just projecting how I'm going to feel then, I would agree, like, why the hell did they do this? But I think the one big one you want to watch and make sure that they don't flip any switches on is Trayvon Diggs.
Yes.
You have an out on that deal after this year.
Yes, you do.
And I really do believe if it comes down to Diggs or Bland, they would like to pay Bland and have traded Diggs. But now you cannot trade Diggs because what is his value worth after two big injuries?
By the way, if you're curious how much kind of money that we're talking about, I've kind of done some of these projections. I think about 25 on Dak. I still think you can pull out like another 14 on CD. And then you just talked about the potential savings for Michael. Let's even go like more conservatively and say $15 million. All right. So that's more than $50 million like that. Mm-hmm. And so there are other things, whether it's Terrence Steele, whether it's you want to reconsider some things at safety. There are other opportunities for money to be saved. But think about how long that took us. One segment. And so if you're waking up at 3 a.m. to look at the free agent board.
Yeah.
Surely you've had this conversation too, right?
Absolutely.
You believe that,
you'd
right?
hope so. I believe it.
Yeah. Do you?
No.
Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the Moral Compass. Did these wedding rules and this fake mayoral announcement go too far? Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Zach Wolchuk rocking with us today. Mike's off for the rest of the week and... buzz on the street is that Corey Majors will return tomorrow.
What?
As someone pointed out, smart. Don't come back today to reinforce yes, Mike's theory. Yes. Wait a day. Come back on Friday as to not raise any suspicion until we brought it up just then.
Now, the 817 is alleging they just saw Corey and he said he and Mike are going to take a load off at the bar and get brass monkeys together. Also said, on your face, Kevin.
I mean... maybe, or one of them could karate chop the other one in the throat. Can't say. All right. But since they're not here right now, we're going to do the moral compass. So I'm going to give you an option, Wolchuk. You're a guest. Took my seat in the prep room. That's okay.
I know. I'm sorry. I felt like as soon as you walked in, the way you looked at me, like, oh, is this your seat? He goes, oh, yeah, you're a guest. Walks over to the other side of the table. I'd have moved.
Just pissed the next hour. I'm just kidding.
We've had bad blood ever since. I can feel the tension.
Would you like to talk about wedding rules or mayoral faux pas to begin?
Say mayoral?
Mayoral faux pas.
Mayoral faux pas.
Yes.
Let's start with the mayoral faux pas, and then we'll slide into the weddings.
I take you to cut number 8, and man, this feels not okay. So this is the mayor of Seattle, Bruce Harrell. He's doing a State of the City address, and he decides, I'm going to do a bit in the middle of this. Remember, it's in Seattle. There's been rumblings that NBA expansion, perhaps bringing back the Supersonics. And the key thing I need to tell you is when you hear the thing that you'll know it when you hear it, he brought out a basketball. So give it away to the mayor, Bruce Harrell.
Right now, at this moment, I have an announcement to make. I'm just kidding. I got
you. By the way, we edited about 10 seconds off the end of that where he just continues to laugh because, so if in your mind you just loop that laugh back together, okay. Alec, you heard the gasps of excitement when, because you all thought he was going to announce Seattle Supersonics are back.
We're back, baby. We are back.
And he said, ha ha, just kidding, chumps. And do you hear the undercurrent? I know he's laughing loudly, but you hear the undercurrent of, oh.
It's just a cruel joke. That is a city that had their team taken away from them, brought to Oklahoma City, and they got to watch them get Kevin Durant and go on a massive run to the NBA Finals. And then, yes, they blew up the team, but now they're right back there.
Yes.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the second best team to a healthy Dallas Mavericks in the Western Conference.
Oh.
But my goodness gracious. He's holding the basketball. He's moving it around in his hands. I mean, he's got the visual, the tease. Everyone's erupting in joy. Yes. We've been waiting, what, 20 years?
Yes.
Just kidding. Not a funny joke, dude. Not funny.
Does it make it worse that you still have to sit through the rest of that stupid address? So, like, not only do you have to be in a glorified HR meeting where only one person talks, then you have to listen to this bit, and then you have to sit through the rest of it. That sounds like the worst.
I think this is where you pull out the tomatoes. And it's like a bad comedy show. And we just start throwing stuff on the stage. And booing.
I'm not against it. From the 214, that is Kawhi Leonard's laugh. I can confirm, because I watched this video multiple times. Because as somebody who's not invested in Seattle basketball, I thought it was a funny bit. I can see how if you lived in Seattle or anywhere near Seattle, you just thought that this was really cruel. But that is... Nobody thought it was funny except for him.
That's a hilarious joke. What is wrong with you, Willie? And that's fair. I just feel for those people. I feel bad. Like, if I were them, just putting myself in their shoes, that is not a funny joke. But I guess you're right. For us who don't have a dog in the fight.
I think it's a funny bit.
It is a good bit.
Do you think he's going to lose his next mayoral election?
Oof, I don't know. I have no idea who's running against him. I mean, maybe they just don't care.
They'll say, hey, I won't jerk you around about the Seattle Supersonics.
That has just ruined his entire political career. Bad joke.
Yes. And from the 469, must be related to Nico. Oh, that is a shame.
And you're right, 214. KD did play for the Supersonics, but he was part of the move.
For one whole year.
So a hell of a season, though.
That is true. All right. Now, wedding rules.
Okay.
How do you guys feel about wedding rules? Have you ever not gone to a wedding because of a specific rule that the married couple told you ahead of time and you're like, I'm a pass?
Okay, can I bring one up that is actually going on now?
Ooh.
That might be the inspiration for this segment.
Is it zero?
Yes.
Okay. This is amazing.
I knew this is where it was going.
So I think that you might be in the same thing here. So I get the wedding invitation for zero, right? And it says on there, like, just for me. And so naturally, what do I do now that I'm a married man? Like, my wife kind of handles the RSVPing. So when she does this, she goes online and it just says my name and there's no plus one. Yep. And then on the invitation, it does say due to like capacity, there's no plus ones. So she's now upset. She's like, what? You got invited to a wedding, but like, I can't go. I'm like, no, this is just gonna. And I'm not missing Zero's wedding. I love him. He's a brother to me. So I'm like, honey, I'm sorry. I'm going to go.
And no kids.
And no kids. So I'm going to go to the wedding, and it's a bummer. You know, at least I'll have Eric with me, and hopefully the rest of us are all going to be there partying. But that is the first time that I've ever seen this kind of situation play out, and it was one where I know the wife was kind of bummed about it. She's like, I should be able to go to the wedding with you. What the hell is going on? But for these things are so damn expensive. Like, when we were first looking at maybe doing an actual legit wedding, because I wanted to do that. I'm one of the only Jewish people that my friends are friends with, right? They wouldn't be able to experience a Jewish wedding.
Are you
if
Jewish?
I didn't have one. I am.
What?
So I wanted to
do
one.
You just now learned?
I knew that.
And then when we ended up going through the process of, like, looking at venue, like, possibly looking at venues, and my wife showed really no need to want to do this. She wasn't putting forth much effort. Like, I'm certainly not going to plan this. So if you're not going to plan this, let's save the money. We did the court wedding. It was awesome. I still did the breaking of the glass deal just in honor of tradition,
nice.
Which was fun. And it was great. And I loved it. And I wouldn't go back and redo that at all. But this zero thing was definitely a unique position to be put into.
So see, I don't think my wife cares as much, but with zero is only part of why I brought this up. There's been this clip circulating on TikTok, which I know Reggie would be against because he does not support TikTok.
He's on it now.
But, yeah, corporate man in Houston. Mm-hmm. But essentially, the couple said no kids invited to the wedding. And this one couple, or at least the mom, brought her little kiddo, and they drove 10 hours to the wedding. And then in the TikTok, you can hear the kid crying and making a ruckus when they're doing like the, do you take so and so?
No.
And like, I might be interpreting a lot from the video, but that wife or about to be wife, she looks pissed about it. And in that moment, I'm like, well, I kind of see your point, lady, about why you didn't want that because they just stay in the church. You can hear that kid like, go walk down the hall. They stay in the church. And that lady, if you could be killed by a side eye, that...
If looks could kill.
Yeah, that lady would have murdered them just then because that side eye was intense.
So I've now been invited to several weddings where it didn't matter to me because I was like Alec and in a bachelor at the time and there were no kids. And I was like, who cares, right? Probably better off. Let's not have kids. Now, since having Eliza, there's a couple of weddings we have coming up in the spring for family. And they've also stressed we'd prefer no kids. So we've had to look for like, okay, do we have like my sister wasn't invited to one of them. So she's going to babysit Eliza. So it works out well. But to me, the biggest thing, and I know for you, this wouldn't matter, Kevin, because you don't drink.
That's true.
But I did go to a wedding, yes, in December. It was actually the day before Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. It was Peace-a-thon. It was the day of Peace-a-thon. I came in, did the segment with you guys.
Skipped it out of principle.
Then that night, I was supposed to go to the wedding, and they had no alcohol.
Can I attempt to be that person that tries to one-up a story?
Please do.
Okay.
Because it's probably better than what I just told.
Because I admit, I didn't really care, but even I was offended for the other people. I went to a wedding with Brandon's mom. One of her friends was getting married, and it was on New Year's Eve, and the wedding was at like 7 o'clock. In the reception, alcohol not allowed.
Gosh.
On New Year, again.
It was on New Year's Eve?
Yes. I don't even drink, and yeah, I was offended for the other people, and I was like, the hell are you even talking about? That is freaking ridiculous.
So what the mission now is, I'm always just going to bring, and this probably sounds super alcoholic of me, but I'm going to bring a flask just in case.
Brandon's
I will have something
smuggling some
prepared. Yes.
There it is.
That's the workaround.
Okay. Have you ever been on the other side? Whoa. By the way, some people are really concerned that I don't listen to you ever talk or on the show.
You do. You're leaning into radio.
I was kidding when I said I didn't know that Zach was Jewish. I've heard him speak before. I pay attention.
I sound Jewish.
No, that's not what I... That backfired on me.
What do you mean
really
by that,
quickly.
Kevin?
Yeah, come on.
That backfired on me really quickly.
I've heard him speak.
We got to... I listened to you. Never mind.
You're okay.
I got to go to a wedding where we were allowed to circumvent the rules. So our friends Sharon and Aaron got married, and it was a no kids wedding, but my wife was one of the bridesmaids. So they were like, oh, well, you can bring Noah. And I was like, hell yeah. And so there was like maybe him and one other kid at that entire wedding. And I couldn't help but wonder if other people were like, the hell do those people get to bring
their
kid?
This isn't fair.
Yeah. That kid's running around.
Shut that baby up.
Yeah, exactly. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the NBA All-Star Player Poll, including thoughts on how to fix the game, the future best player in the league, and Luka next on The Fan.